This is ProBlogger.
Is email sucking all your time and taking you away from your blogging and other important aspects of your life? Well, today, prompted by a reader question, I want to share some tools, techniques, and tips for handling the overwhelming amounts of email that you will start to get once your blog begins to grow. My name's Darren Rouse, and welcome to episode 147 of the ProBlogger podcast. The topic I want to tackle today comes from a question from Phil, one of our readers, who says, I've been blogging for a couple of years now, and in the last 6 months have seen quite a bit of growth in traffic on my blog. This is great, but I'm noticing with it is coming a significant rise in the incoming emails I get. I feel like I'm drowning in it, and it's taking me away from my blogging. Do you have any systems or tools to help you to manage your incoming email? Thanks for the question, Phil. Before I get onto it, I do want to shoot you over to our show notes at problogger.com/podcast/147. I will be mentioning in today's episode a number of tools that I use, some of which some of you will be familiar with because you recommended them to me, but there's also a summary of all the tips that I've got for you today, as well as a full transcript of today's episode. And before I start, I want to just mention a little personal project that I'm working on at the moment that I'm looking for a little bit of help on. And if you've got a couple of moments, you can really help me to shape this little project that's coming up. I want to hear your brave story. I want to hear the bravest thing that you've ever done. If you head over to problogger.net/brave, there's a little opportunity there for you to tell me in 200 words or less your bravest story. We're collecting these stories for an upcoming podcast project that I'm hoping to get underway later this year. The podcast has nothing to do with blogging whatsoever. The story doesn't have to be to do with your online brave moments or anything to do with work at all. Your brave stories could be work-related, or they could be relationship related. They could be to do with your health. They could be to do with adventure, fun, brave things that you've done. It's totally up to you. But I'd love to hear your bravest moment, the thing that you've done that took the most courage. Head over to problogger.net/brave to tell your story. Okay, let's get into today's show where we're going to talk about getting your email under control.
Creating great content. Finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, this question from Phil is one that I want to approach today by telling you a little bit about what I do, but I'm a little bit nervous in doing it because I know that this is an area that I constantly need to be working on. Email is not an area that I have a great track record with. I get thousands of emails every week. A lot of them are automated emails, and many of you will be familiar with those sorts of emails that you get from social networks when someone follows you and all of those types of things. And I'm going to tell you how I deal with those. But I also get a lot of emails from readers. And one of the things I've noticed since 2002 is that my incoming email has just exponentially grown almost every year, year on year on year, it grows to the point where literally thousands of emails come in to my business every week. And so I want to share today, with a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of nervousness, how I deal with email and how my business deals with email. Now, most of what I want to share today is relevant for you if you are a solo entrepreneur, if you are just a blogger working by yourself, but there are a few things that I also talk about when it comes to having a team as well. Okay, I'm putting these into no logical order, so there's a number of them, and I'm going to give you some techniques, but also some tools as well. And as I mentioned before, you can head to the show notes at problogger.com/podcast/147 to get all the links to the tools mentioned. Okay, the first thing I'll say is that I use Gmail for most of my email. Most of what I'm going to share today does have some relevance with Gmail, although some of the tools will work in other systems as well. And one of the things that I do love, and the first thing that I kind of thought of when I was thinking of Phil's question, is that I have, in Gmail, I used canned responses. Now, some of you will be familiar with canned responses, whether it be in Gmail or other systems, and other systems do have this. But one of the things I love about Gmail is that they have this little setting. If you go into the settings and then look for the Labs link, Gmail Labs. And in that, there are a number of features that people at Gmail or other people have put together, but they haven't incorporated them into the main release of Gmail. And one of the little lab features that they have there is what they call canned responses. And a canned response basically is going to save you time when you get asked the same question over and over and over again. Many of the emails that I get from readers on ProBlogger or Digital Photography School are similar to one another. I get a lot of common questions, a lot of frequently asked questions, if you like. And so I have put together a number of canned responses that I can reply to those common questions within a click or two. So again, to get into the canned responses setting, you go into your Gmail account and look for your settings, click on settings, then look for labs, and then enable canned responses. And I'll put a link in today's show notes to how to set up your canned responses. Let me give you a really quick example of how I use it. I get a lot of PR pitches, people sending me all kinds of things or wanting to send me things and wanting me to link to them. Now, a lot of the PR pitches that I get are completely irrelevant. For example, I won't tell you the exact product name or manufacturer, but in the mail 2 days ago, I got some hair wax from a PR agency wanting me to write about it. Now, for one, I do not have a fashion or beauty blog. They should have sent it to my wife, but it was addressed to ProBlogger. And two, I don't have hair. So I get a lot of pictures like that, and most of them do come in via email. Most people don't just send me hair wax in the mail. One of the things I've done is have created a little canned response that I send to anyone who sends me an irrelevant PR pitch. And it's politely worded. As much as I would like to get a little bit angry with them and say, hey, why don't you look at my blog? I just have a polite declining of their approach. And it's really simple. So every time I get a PR pitch, I can just simply respond with a canned response for PR pitches. Another common one that I get is a lot of guest post pitches. Whilst occasionally we do have a guest post on ProBlogger, we get hundreds of those sorts of requests every month, and we probably publish one or two a week at the most. We have to reject a lot of people, and that can take a lot of time to write an individual response to every person, and so we have a canned response. So I'm able to select that. I then usually will tweak it a little bit, add the person's name, personalize it a little bit if I've got something, some feedback for them and a reason why. But the bulk of that email is a canned response. We get a lot of SEO pitches, people wanting us to link to them. We get a whole heap of these sort of common requests. And so the simplest way for us to do that is to simply select this canned response and hit reply. And that saves me a lot of time, saves me having to write all of those answers one by one.
You're listening to ProBlogger.
Another thing that you can do if you do get asked a lot of the same question is to have a page on your site for frequently asked questions. And this is something I do have on ProBlogger, and I just updated it today because it was getting a little bit dated when I went to have a look at it. There were a few things on it that weren't really up to date. So I will link to it in today's show notes, but it's ProBlogger.net/ProBlogger-FAQ. And we link to this from our contact form. So anyone who wants to send us an email through the contact form on ProBlogger, there is a little request that they check out our FAQ page. Now, not everyone looks at it, but it has reduced the amount of emails that we get because we answer a lot of the common questions on that particular FAQ page. Now, if you go and have a look at my FAQ page, I'm just opening it now as I talk to you, you'll see I've got different categories of questions there. I've got, some questions that I get about ProBlogger. So one of the questions we get asked a lot is, what blogging platform do you use? And I've written a lot about WordPress and why I use WordPress. And so I simply have the question, what blogging platform do you use? And then I'll link to some articles that I've written on that particular topic. Another question, can you link to my blog? I get that question quite a bit. I've written this thing, could you link to it? And I have my response on that. Could you take a look at my blog and review it? Or do you do consulting? These types of questions I get asked a lot. And then underneath that, I've also got some other questions about my life. You know, where do you live? How long have you been blogging? How did you start? What did you do before you started blogging? So all of these questions I answer on that. Now I try and humorize it a little bit. Now, as I'm looking at my FAQ page right now, I could probably update it a little bit further by personalizing it, perhaps even putting a video onto it. But simply by having the answers to those most frequently asked questions there, I know I'm cutting down the amount of emails that I get. The key is to link to that FAQ page. And probably the best place to do that is from the place where people will contact you from, your contact page, if you do have one. Now, speaking of contact pages, I want to talk a little bit about our contact page as well. We use a WordPress plugin to run our contact form. It's a plugin called Gravity Forms. And again, I'll link to it in today's show notes. And it's a very powerful plugin that does a number of things. One of those things is to be able to run your contact page. You can also use it to take guest post submissions and create content from it from your users. There's a whole heap of different things that you can use Gravity Forms for. And we really just scrape the surface of what it is useful for. But one of the things I love about Gravity Forms is that allows you in your contact form to have a little drop-down menu. So I'll link to the contact form that we have over at Digital Photography School, my main blog. And you'll see once you head over there that we have a number of different fields there. The person needs to put in their name, their email address, what their email is about. And then we ask them to select their subject. And you've probably seen this in many contact forms before. We have five different options people can select. One is, I have a question about a product. If they select that and then they send us an email, that email then is sent to our customer support team. Number two is, I have a bug or problem to report, and that is always sent to our tech support person. So the person who operates our WordPress installations, does our design and our service. Number three, there's an option there, I'd like to advertise on Digital Photography School. That goes to our partnership team, the person who sells advertising on our site. Number four, I'd like to write for Digital Photography School. These are people who want to submit guest posts and who want to become a writer, and that goes to our editor. And then the last option is something else, and that's a bit of a miscellaneous catch-all, and again, it goes to our customer support, and then they triage it. They send it off to the relevant person in my team. Now, obviously, I have a team and I want to get the right email to the right person. I don't want to be receiving all of those emails and then introducing people to the right person. I just want these emails to get sent straight to the right person. Now, you might not have a team yet, but this type of system is good because it enables you to, as your team grows and as you do bring on people, to be able to send these emails really quickly out to the right person. But you could also use this to get emails into the right folder in your Gmail. So you could have a folder set up for each of these areas, for editorial requests, for advertising requests, for technical bugs, for customer service, and that would enable you to organize the incoming emails that you have there. And I'll tell you a little bit more about how to do that. I use filtering within Gmail, and that would enable you to do that as well. So by triaging the types of requests that you get and sending them to the right places, that can cut down some work as well. The other thing that I have on my contact form, and in addition to the link to the FAQ page, is if there's a question that you get more than any other, you could actually put the answer to the frequently asked question right there on your contact form as well. And so on the ProBlogger contact form, right there on the contact form, I do say, if you would like me to look at your blog and give you a review, I'm sorry I don't offer this service anymore, because that's the most frequently asked question that I get. Hey, could you look at my blog? And whilst I'd love to do that for all my readers, I get so many of those requests every week that it would become my full-time job just to look at people's blogs and give them free advice, and I wouldn't write any new content. So if you do have a question that's asked all the time, you might even want to consider putting the answer to that frequently asked question on your contact form as well. Another thing that you can do on your contact forms that might help is, if you have a place that you'd rather people ask you questions, on social media, for example, you could be pointing them to those places as well. And so on my contact forms, I also list where our Twitter account is. I also list where my Facebook page is. I also link to my Instagram page, all of these other places that I'm hanging out, and say to the people where you are, where they might be able to contact you in a better way. You could even eliminate email altogether and say, and push everyone to your Facebook page and say, send me a message, direct message there if you'd prefer to do that. Really make it clear to people on your contact form where they can contact you, what set some expectations about when you'll get back to people or if you'll get back to people. I know some people on their contact form say something like, I get so many emails, I can't respond to everyone, and sort of set that expectation that they don't reply to everyone. If you do reply to everyone, maybe consider putting a time frame on there as well. Getting those expectations right could be useful in that sort of circumstance.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, another thing that has helped me a lot, and I've already sort of touched on this, is that I have help to respond to the emails. And this is something that's only really happened, I guess, in the last 4 or 5 years for me. Up until probably the first 8 or 9 years of my blogging, I was handling all my incoming email, and it was a real challenge. But one of the things I realized, particularly after we started selling ebooks over on Digital Photography School, is that that really ramped things up when it came to incoming emails. You know, people would email every time we did a launch of a new ebook, we would get questions from people who didn't know what an ebook was, or didn't know whether an ebook was a physical thing or a virtual thing, or how to download it or how to open it. People were asking for refunds, people asking questions about whether the product was right for them, people struggling to get their payment through with PayPal or with their credit card. I could quite easily have spent my whole day, just during a launch particularly, responding to requests. And for a long time, I did. I did it all myself for a long time. And it was really took my focus away from the marketing of the products and the development of more products as well. So one of the best things that I ever did was to hire someone to help me, particularly on Digital Photography School, to manage customer support. As I mentioned before, using the drop-down menu, we have emails going to a variety of different people in my team that's relevant to them, but the bulk of the emails that we get coming in go to my brother-in-law, Simon, who I hired. Now, Simon's part-time, he's not a full-time employee, and we've gradually increased his hours over the years, but simply by sending all of those types of questions around products particularly, and some of those common questions that people have, sending them all to him, he is incredibly efficient at responding to those. We use a tool called Zendesk, Zendesk.com, which is a paid service that we have. It's not that expensive. I think it's $5, $10 a month for one person to be able to access it. And it also has canned responses. I think originally Simon was using Gmail to manage it all, but as the volume of incoming emails increased, we wanted to move to Zendesk because it's a ticketed system. So anyone who emails us gets a ticket. And then Simon's able to look at their full history of emails that we've had with that particular person to really be able to track the issue that the person has and to see whether it's resolved or not. He also can use an app, a Zendesk app, on his iPhone or iPad while he's traveling and out and about as well to be able to respond to people. Again, they have canned responses, so all the common questions that he gets asked, he can respond to in a click, which saves a lot of time as well. You can pay more to have multiple users using Zendesk, but I think we're set up with just one or two users, so it's a fairly affordable option for us. Okay, a couple more tips, techniques and tools that I use within Gmail. The first one I've already touched on, it is filters. The reason I originally switched to Gmail way back in, must have been 2008, I think, was this idea of filters. At that time, I remember really clearly being inundated with social media messages, some of which you couldn't even turn off at that time. You know, when you set up your Twitter account, you get the chance these days to, you know, filter how many emails you get from Twitter when someone direct messages you or when someone follows you. Back then, there were very limited amounts of filtering that you could do. You either got all the messages or you got none of them. And so we, most of us left those messages on because we wanted to get notified when we got a direct message. And so we got a lot of emails from Twitter, from Facebook, from all of the different social networks, in addition to all of the other emails that I was getting. And so the ability within Gmail to be able to filter messages to different folders To label different messages and hide them, and to skip the inbox is a very powerful thing. Now, I just looked this afternoon at my Gmail account at the filters that I have set up, and I have hundreds of filters set up that I've set up since 2008. But the bulk of the filters that I've got set up is around emails that I get around product sales. I really like to keep a record of every email that I get when I sell an ebook. And that's partly to be able to serve my customers. I love it when I get an email or a message on Twitter from someone saying, "Hey, I bought this ebook way back when, I've lost it, can I get it again?" I want to be able to really quickly check whether that person has paid for that product so I can send it to them again. And the quickest way for me to check whether they've bought it or not is to do a quick search in my Gmail account, because I have a record of every single transaction that we've had, tens of thousands of ebooks that we've sold over the years. But I don't want all of those emails landing in my inbox. I want to keep them, but I don't want to read them. And there are many emails that you probably get every day that you want to keep, but you don't want to read. And so the quickest and the best way that you can do that is to set up a filter within Gmail. And all of these emails that I get two emails for every ebook sold. I get an email from PayPal and I get an email from our shopping cart system. I don't want to see them. So I tell Gmail with a filter to skip my inbox. It doesn't go into my inbox. And to put it, mark it as read, and then put it into a folder called ebook sales within Gmail. And so this all happens automatically. And if I actually go into Gmail and hit the All Mail tab, I will see most of my emails are skipping my inbox because they're emails that I want to keep, but I don't want to read. And this is really very powerful to do. And Gmail is doing a lot of the work for me there. It's really gold. The other thing that I love about this and filters is that there's emails that I get regularly that I do want to read, but I don't want to read them until later. One example of this is that I get a lot of receipts from services that I subscribe to. So I am a subscriber. I pay for SumoMe, Lead Pages, some of these services that as bloggers we pay a monthly fee for. I don't need to read all of those receipts as they come in, but at tax time, I want to be able to find those receipts very quickly. And so I've set up a filter so that every time I get a receipt from Lead Pages or from SumoMe or from any of the other services that I use, they skip my inbox and they are put into a folder called receipts. And so at the end of every quarter, when I do my tax, I can find all of my receipts in the one folder, but I didn't have to put them there myself. And there will be a variety of other types of emails that you might want to do the same types of things with. If you're a batch processor, if you like to do all of the same task in a row, you could even do this on a daily basis. For example, if you set up using Gravity Forms, the system that I mentioned to you earlier, if you don't have a team to handle all of the different types of emails, but you want to process those emails in batches, you could actually set up five folders in your Gmail, one for customer service, one for tech bugs, one for advertising requests, one for guest posts. And then you could tackle each of those categories of questions that you get at a certain time each day or once a week. So you can use filters to really manage those incoming emails in different ways as well.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Another tool that I use is Unroll.me. Unroll.me. It scans your inbox for you. You have to give it permission to look at your Gmail. You may not want to do that if you have concerns around privacy, but I'm pretty much happy for them to scan my inbox, and it shows you the emails that you are subscribed to. One of the challenges when you're in the space that we're in is that we end up subscribing to a whole lot of newsletters, and sometimes we get subscribed to them without our permission as well. And so Unroll.me will come back to you once it's scanned your inbox and show you all of the subscriptions that you have, and then give you a choice as to whether you want to unsubscribe from them. And it will enable you to unsubscribe in bulk to a lot of emails that you are getting that you do not want to continue to get. Or it gives you the option to continue to receive them, or for it to roll them up into a digest every day. And this is what I love about Unroll.me, is that every morning at 7 a.m., I get an email It's from Unroll Me, and it digests all of the emails that I do want to continue to get, but I don't want to interrupt me throughout the day. Before I was using Unroll Me, the emails would just come in and hit my inbox as they came in. And so I might get 20 or 30 emails during the day, emails that I do want to get. They might be newsletters from other bloggers. They might be alerts that I get from news alerts. Or if I'm looking at real estate, I get alerts from a real estate site that I'm following. I don't want those emails to interrupt me every day, but I do want to see them every day. And Unroll Me puts them all into one single email so that I can very quickly scan those things when I get to my email first thing in the morning. You can set it up so that it sends them to you in the afternoon or in the evening. But just by having them all hit at once really saves me a lot of time. Every morning when I get that email, it usually has 20 or 30 emails that it's digested for me. And I can very quickly, within a minute or two, get all of the information that I need from those emails. Or I can identify one of those emails that I really want to dig into further, and then I can do that. The other tool that I use within Gmail is Boomerang, and I know many of you use Boomerang already. It's a Chrome extension that does a number of things. I use two of its features quite a bit. The first feature that I love is that if I get an email from someone, and it might be at 9 o'clock at night, I just checked it and I've seen it and I've gone, oh, I'm not on my computer right now. I want to respond to this tomorrow morning, but I'm not going to be online again until then. I want to kind of mark this as done, and I want it to appear back in my inbox tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So it's at the top of my inbox. One of the challenges that I have getting so many emails is that emails do get lost, particularly at the end of the day. If I see an email come in at 9 p.m. at night, by the next morning, there's another 50 emails on top of it. And so I am able to say to Boomerang, send this email back to me in 4 hours, or send this email back to me tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. It will do that for me. So the next morning when I get up, there it is sitting on top of the stack. The other thing I like about Boomerang is that you can tell Boomerang when to send your emails. So again, I might be working at 9 o'clock at night on my computer, and I might want to send an email to Lainey, who manages ProBlogger, but I don't want her to get that email at 9 o'clock at night. It's going to interrupt her night, or it's going to make me look like I'm working too late, and I don't want her to see that I'm working that late. So I can actually say to Boomerang, hey, send this email to Lainey tomorrow morning at 8:55 a.m. So it's on top of her email stack the next morning. So Boomerang, they're the two main features I use of it. It does have a number of other features as well. So check out that. I'll link to it in today's show notes. Then the main techniques I use within Gmail and to manage my incoming email. I'm very aware, as I've gone through that I'm sure there are plenty of other great tools that you use. I've tested some of them myself, but the system I've just described to you kind of works for me. But I'd love to hear what you use. And if you want to head over to problogger.com/podcast/147, leave us a comment. Tell us the tools that you tried that work well for you. Tell us the techniques that you use. Tell us how you minimize the incoming emails that do come into you, how you respond to them as efficiently as you can. Or tell us whether you are a complete failure at Gmail as well, and maybe you want to tell us how many unread emails you have in your inbox. That could be fun too. All right, that's over at problogger.com/podcast/147. Thanks for listening today, and I'll chat with you in a couple of days' time in episode 148.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to ProBlogger. I would love it if you have a moment to head over to iTunes and leave us a review and or a rating. It really does help. Thanks for listening. Chat with you in a couple of days. This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.